From 13 ABC, in partnership with the Toledo Blade, this is the Ohio U.S. Senate debate. Now, here is your moderator, Diane Larson.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's debate, the first of this campaign season for the U.S. Senate seat here in Ohio. I'm your moderator, Diane Larson, 13 ABC and the Toledo Blade, proud to bring you this debate tonight. Featuring our candidates, I'd like to formally introduce them at this point alphabetically. Lee Fisher, a Democrat, and Rob Portman, a Republican, running for the U.S. Senate seat for Ohio. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here tonight. The Ohio Newspaper Organization is sponsoring this debate, as well as two other debates that will be occurring this month between these two candidates. Eight newspapers make up the organization, including the Toledo Blade, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Columbus Dispatch, the Cincinnati Inquirer, also included the Dayton Daily News, the Canton Repository, the Akron Beacon Journal, and the Youngstown Vindicator. Both campaigns have agreed to the format of this debate, and it will feature questions from our four panelists. Those panelists are Tom Troy, the politics writer from the Toledo Blade, Joe Hallett, the senior editor of the Columbus Dispatch, Laura Bischoff, reporter for the Dayton Daily News, and Joe Froelich, chief editorial writer of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Thank you all for being here tonight. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to respond to questions posed by the panelists. The other will have 1 minute to rebut or respond to those answers. And a coin toss was used to determine who will go first for both the opening statement and the order of questions. And Lee Fisher won that coin toss. He will begin things for us this evening with a 2 minute opening statement. Mr. Fisher.
Good. Ohio, Washington, Main Street, Wall Street, export goods, export jobs. I begin this way tonight because this is a very clear choice between someone who has traveled Ohio fighting for the people of Ohio and someone who has spent the last 20 years fighting for the special interests. As Attorney General, I've closed drug houses throughout our state. As the head of the Center for Families and Children, I've helped struggling families get back on their feet. And as Lieutenant Governor these last 4 years, I've been in every corner of the state in this middle of this unprecedented economic storm, working to save and create jobs. What about Congressman Portman? You would never know it by looking at his ads. You'd never know it listening to him tonight. But here's who he is. He was a lobbyist for a foreign country. He was a congressman who supported the deregulation of Wall Street. He was George Bush's trade advisor and budget director, supporting and advocating for policies that gave tax breaks to large companies that ship jobs overseas. The Washington Post has described him as Mr. Washington. If you want to know who we're for, take a look at who's for us. Congressman Portman has received more money than any Republican candidate in the country from Washington lobbyists. He's received more money than any candidate, period, from the insurance industry, and he's number two in Wall Street money. But don't worry, he's on his way to being number one, because he'll be one of those who leads the fight to repeal Wall Street reform. I think it's time that Congressman Portman tonight took responsibility for his role in helping cause this recession. And he knows better, despite his commercials, this is not a state recession. This is a national recession. And Mr. Washington had his choice, and now it's our turn.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Portman, 2 minute opening statement.
Thank you, Diane, and thank you for being here tonight. And thanks for the organizers for giving us the opportunity to present two very different visions for the future of Ohio and our nation. It's great to be back in Toledo, too. I chose to come to Toledo to announce our campaign. I wanted to come to Toledo because this part of the state too often gets left out. And I've been back over a dozen times since for factory visits, meeting with workers, meeting with small business owners, economic development folks. In fact, I've done that all over this great state. And what I've seen won't surprise you because you feel it. Our state is falling behind the rest of the country. We've lost 400,000 jobs in the last 4 years. Our unemployment rate has nearly doubled. In fact, right now, Ohio has one of the top 10 highest unemployment rates in the country. We've lost businesses to other states. We've lost some of the best and brightest young people. For the last 4 years, my opponent has been the Lieutenant Governor of Ohio. He's also been the Director of the Department of Development for Ohio, responsible for creating jobs. Now, you just heard from him, and you just heard his attacks. And all of those attacks are partisan attacks, and they're discredited, and a couple of them are downright false. He's going to do it all night. And I think he's going to do it because he wants to distract us from two things. One, his record, hard to defend that. And second, the federal policies that he's supporting. He's a strong supporter of Washington's health care law that's not working for Ohio, the stimulus package that hasn't helped Ohio. I'm running because I believe Ohio and our country are heading in the wrong direction. Status quo is not working. And because I believe there's a better way. There's a better way on health care, on taxes, on spending that's out of control, on energy and regulations to help get private sector jobs back. Check out our jobs plan at robportman.com. I was born and raised in Ohio. Jane and I have raised our kids in Ohio. Ohio can come back, but we need to turn things around in Washington to help Ohio get back on track.
Mr. Portman, thank you very much. Our panel questions now begin, and we start with Tom Troy asking the first question of Lee Fisher.
Mr. Fisher, in this campaign, you've been very critical of international free trade deals. And yet, during the most recent 12-month period, Ohio export trade topped $20 billion, 29% increase over the previous 12 months. Wouldn't a protective trade policy reverse Ohio's growing prominence as an export state?
Tom, exports are good. And as the Director of Development, as Lieutenant Governor, I've actually worked to promote exports. We've counseled countless businesses throughout Ohio, including many right here in Northwest Ohio, helping them access the 14 different markets in which Ohio has state offices. The issue here is not whether exporting goods is a good thing. The issue is whether or not we're exporting too many jobs and we're paying that price. When you have fair and balanced trade, you can do both. But when you have a trade deficit, that means that you're saying that we will export goods even if it means that the price we pay is jobs leaving this state at a record number. That's not a price any of us should be willing to pay. So the bottom line is that we are selling too little, we are buying too much, we're producing too little and producing what we do in China and in other countries. It's an easy four-part solution. You increase your exports, you reduce your imports, you bring production offshore back to America, and you bring incentives to America to do more production in Ohio so that we have more made in America as opposed to made in China. So I want to make it clear, I want more trade, not less. I want more exports, not less. But I want it to be fair, I want it to be balanced, and I don't want hardworking people who've spent their lives in manufacturing and technology losing their jobs, not to mention the businesses and industries we're losing almost every month to another country.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Portman, you have 1 minute to respond.
Tom, you have it exactly right. You can't have it both ways. And Lee Fisher in this campaign has decided to run an anti-export and really an anti-Ohio campaign. The Cleveland Plain Dealer yesterday endorsed my candidacy, and I appreciate that. And one of the reasons that they stated in the editorial was that Lee Fisher is demagoguing on trade. In other words, Ohio depends on exports. 25% of Ohio factory workers have their jobs because of exports. One out of every 3 acres planted in Ohio is exported. We need to expand exports. And yet, although Lieutenant Governor Fisher said just a second ago he's for exports, he's not. He does not support the trade opening agreements to be able to help Ohio factory workers and Ohio farmers. He has said that he's for helping companies to stay in America. Well, you know what? He supports higher taxes on U.S. companies, both small companies and big companies. He supports the Washington approach to higher regulations, more burdens. Now, this is going to make it more difficult for us to keep jobs here. Yes, trade needs to be fair. We need to enforce our trade laws. We need to expand our exports. If we don't do that, we're going to be hurting Ohio workers.
Thank you, Mr. Portman. Joe Hallett from the Columbus Dispatch asks the next question of Rob Portman.
Mr. Portman, even those who believe free trade enriches the overall U.S. economy concede that certain sectors or individual communities can be decimated by foreign competition. What do you say to people who have lost jobs to foreign countries, and what responsibility does the U.S. government have to assist those people?
Thanks, Joe. Again, trade should be about two things. One, ensuring that we have a level playing field, that we're enforcing our trade laws. I did that when I was in a position to do it. In fact, I sued China, the first person ever to do it as the U.S. Trade Representative, the first country ever to do it, and we won. It was on auto parts. It helped Ohio. We also started some other cases that are now being successfully prosecuted against China. I've been there. I've done it. We need to level that playing field. And second, we need to expand exports. Ohio is dependent on exports. And by the way, export jobs pay more, and they have better benefits. We cannot allow ourselves not to continue to give Ohio workers, farmers, service providers those opportunities. I agree with what Joe Hallett just said. Sometimes trade has a disruptive effect, and we need to be sure that we're minimizing that. But when it happens, we need to be sure that the government steps in and provides workers the retraining that they need. This is why I'm not just a strong supporter of the current trade adjustment assistance and helping workers, but I'm for revamping and reforming the system. Under Lieutenant Governor Lee Fisher, Ohio is 44th in the country in terms of getting money actually into worker retraining. Over $3 billion a year comes into Ohio from the federal government. That money is not well spent. We need to coordinate it better, we need to work better with the private sector, and we need to get the bureaucracy out of it in Columbus that takes up too much of that money. So Ohio is not 44th in the country, but we're first in the country in getting workers the retraining that they need.
Mr. Portman, thank you. Mr. Fisher, 1 minute to respond.
Congressman Portman, if you go to Finley Industries, if you go to Severstal Steel, if you go to Delphi Packard, it's hard to look those men and women in the eye and say that there isn't damage done when we have free trade. Because of NAFTA, 50,000 jobs have been lost. Because of trade with China, 100,000 jobs have been lost. Think about this. At the end of the Bush years, the trade deficit in the United States, not just with China, but all countries, was about $800 billion. What does that mean? That means that they're selling us $800 billion more dollars of stuff than we're selling them. That doesn't make any sense at all. The bottom line is that we can do both, and we must do both. When Congressman Portman was the trade advisor, he refused to put quotas on steel pipes, despite the fact that manufacturers and the International Trade Commission asked him to do it. His record is not what he says it is.
Mr. Fisher, thanks much. Laura Bischoff from the Dayton Daily News asks the next question. It goes to Lee Fisher.
Mr. Fisher, you were director of the Ohio Department of Development and lieutenant governor when Ohio lost nearly 400,000 jobs and the unemployment rate climbed. Why should voters in this economy send you to the United States Senate?
Laura, in the middle of a national economic storm that has affected every single state in the country, whether it has a Republican or a Democratic governor or lieutenant governor, states have two choices. They can go down in the basement, put a cover over their heads, and wait and pray for a better day. Or they can do what the governor and I have done. Take some risks, go out in the front yard, plant and plow. And whether it's Cooper Tire and Rubber, whether it's Norwalk Furniture, whether it's Goodyear, whether it's Bridgestone Firestone, whether it's Amlin, the list goes on and on. We've worked to save jobs one job at a time. You know, if you're unemployed, and there are too many people today unemployed, the unemployment rate isn't 10%, it's 100%. And I know that. But let's be honest about this. It's not a state recession, it's a national recession. Only one state in this country has received recognition for bringing in the most new jobs and the most private capital investment, not once, not twice, but three times, in 2007, 8, and 9, and that's Ohio. Recently, we were named the fastest growing economy in the country. Does that mean everything is good? Of course not. But it does mean that we're working harder than other states. It means that we're going down that field just like Woody Hayes did, three yards in a cloud of dust, and we are not giving up. You want people leading you who, when the wind is in their face, they don't go to the sidelines or go up down into the basement or up in the stands. They keep moving down the field. And if you go to some of those companies that I talked about, one very close to here, Cooper Tire and Rubber, they'll tell you that when they were about to leave, we stepped in and we saved 1,000 jobs. And there are too many people who have not benefited from our work and our successes, which is why our work is never done. But let's always remember it's a national recession brought to us by the policies of George W. Bush and Congressman Portman.
Mr. Fisher, thank you. Mr. Portman, 1 minute to respond.
Thank you, Laura. I think it's an insult to Woody Hayes' incredible record at Ohio State to somehow compare him to what's happened in Ohio in the last 4 years. It hasn't been a successful game. We've been losing the game. We've lost 400,000 jobs. Just in the last year, here in the Toledo area, we've lost companies. In fact, since this campaign began, four companies have left the Toledo area to go to Indiana. That's based on the Toledo Blade story, Tom, that I read a couple days ago. We're falling behind, and these guys have not done the job. And now Lieutenant Governor Lee Fisher wants to take that record to Washington. Well, I'll tell you, I've been to some of these companies around the state that he says he's helping. I've been to over 70 plants and factories just in the last year and a half. They don't want the higher taxes. They don't want the higher health care costs. They don't want card check, which makes it harder for them to stay in Ohio. They want to be given a pro-jobs, pro-growth approach, and that's what I'm offering to take to Washington, D.C. Not a failed record. Unfortunately, Lieutenant Governor Fisher, as Director of Development, does not deserve that promotion.
Thank you, Mr. Portman. Next question comes from Joe Froelich from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and it goes to Mr. Portman.
Mr. Portman, you were in Congress and then budget director under George W. Bush, whose administration significantly increased federal spending. Now you're calling for less spending to control the deficit. What would you cut? What would be off limits? And why do you or any other Republicans have credibility on this issue?
Thanks, Joe. I'm not just calling for less spending today. I've always called for less spending. In fact, when I was budget director, I actually proposed a balanced budget. I was there for about a year. It was the first balanced budget that had been proposed in the Bush administration. It was 6 years into the administration. They should have done it sooner. They also should have had the president vetoing spending bills sooner. He had never vetoed a spending bill. A month after I got there, I sent the first letter to Capitol Hill saying the president will veto, and he did veto a spending bill. And guess what? The spending got under control. In fact, when I was there, we had a 50% reduction in the deficit. It was down to $161 billion, which I thought was too high because I had proposed a balanced budget. Today's deficit is nine times higher than that. Think about that. We're looking at doubling the debt in 5 years, tripling the debt in 10 years. This is unconscionable for our kids and grandkids to be leaving them with this incredible burden and mortgaging their futures. We need to stop the spending now. We need to put a freeze on domestic spending. It's non-security spending. We need to grow the economy. And that's why the Portman Plan for Jobs is so important, because we need pro-growth policies to get the economy moving so we can get the revenues moving. And finally, we need to look at the entitlement plans. I know that Lieutenant Governor Lee Fisher refuses to do that, but every other person who's looked at this, Republican, Democrat, Independent alike, says that we need to have a sensible bipartisan approach to the entitlement spending to get our country back on the right path in terms of its fiscal future. These are all things that I will do should I have the honor of representing Ohio in the United States Senate.
Mr. Portman, thank you. Mr. Fisher, a minute to respond.
Congressman Portman and I do agree that the deficit and the debt are out of control. But he's leaving out a little bit of history that you need to know about. When Bill Clinton left office, he handed with a bow a record surplus to George W. Bush. And what did George W. Bush hand over to President Obama 8 years later? A record deficit of $1.3 trillion. And what was that budget deficit when Congressman Portman was the budget director? It was around $500 billion.
That one.
That particular budget that he introduced, by the time it passed, a deficit from 162 to closer to 500. When he was trade advisor.
That was the Democrats in Congress.
When he was trade advisor, the deficit ballooned to $200 billion. And now what does he want to do? He tells us we're spending too much money, but he wants to give $700 billion to millionaires and billionaires, as opposed to using that money to reduce the deficit and create jobs. That doesn't sound fiscal discipline to me.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. And we ask that the candidates let the other finish, and you may have an opportunity to, if you have a dispute with something you say, it's next question when it's your turn. And we go with the other questions, and we start with Joe Froelich. He is asking this question of Lee Fisher.
Building on your last answer there, Mr. Fisher, why is it a good idea to extend all of the Bush-era tax cuts except those on the wealthiest Americans? Wouldn't a tax cut on anyone when the economy is in the situation it is right now harm the recovery?
Joe, there's a couple reasons. Number one, those who have been hit hardest by this recession have been the middle class. That has been my focus of my career. It will continue to be my focus in the U.S. Senate. Those tax cuts for the middle class unquestionably should be extended. But here's why the tax cuts for the millionaires and billionaires should not. First of all, the economists will tell you that usually they put their money away. They don't spend it. 75% of our economy today is consumer spending. You want that money to go back into the economy to buy certain needs. Middle class does that. The wealthy put it away. Number two, $700 billion is an awful lot of money that we could be using to reduce the debt and to create more jobs in this economic recession. And number three, the amount of tax cuts that the wealthy are getting are disproportionate. We're talking averages of, I think, something like $100,000 a person, far, far less than the middle class tax cuts. It makes no sense. It's not all or nothing when you're a legislator. You pick and choose. What are your priorities? My priority is the middle class.
Mr. Fisher, thank you. Mr. Portman, you have a minute to respond.
What we're seeing tonight, again, as I said, very different visions for the future for our state and for our country. Lieutenant Governor Fisher wants to raise taxes. And my view is, at a time when we're trying to climb out of this recession, it's the last thing we should be doing. He wants to raise taxes on small businesses. He wants to raise taxes on individuals. He talked about $700 billion that somehow people owe the government. This is by raising taxes on people at a time when we shouldn't be raising taxes. What we should be doing instead is we should be passing pro-growth, pro-jobs legislation to get the burdens down, to reduce health care costs, to be sure that our energy costs are stable, not the cap-and-trade energy tax legislation that the Democrats have passed in Congress. We should be sure that we're putting out regulations that make sense, that are science-based, so that companies like the one I visited earlier today in Toledo, a factory, aren't burdened by these regulations and unable to create jobs. We should be sure that we're getting the debt and the deficit under control by controlling spending, which has increased 84%. Just in the year and a half of this administration. That's the domestic discretionary spending when you include stimulus and the supplemental and so on. 84% increase in that kind of spending.
Thank you, Mr. Portman.
That's not sustainable.
Laura Bischoff from Dayton Daily News. You have the next question. It goes to Rob Portman.
Mr. Portman, if elected, will you try to repeal the new health care reform law and start over, or are there parts of the reform law that you'd like to keep?
Laura, the health care costs in this country are too high. And what's happened with this legislation is now they're even higher. This legislation was a great opportunity for us to get control of costs because that helps all of our families. It helps our businesses to be able to compete. It also ensures that we have health care costs that we can afford, so there are fewer people who are uninsured. And yet the legislation went just the other way. I've toured 6 or 7 factories just in the last couple weeks. Had a small business roundtable last week. The number one issue that's being raised with me is the cost of health care. And these businesses see their health care costs going up this year, higher than last year, because of the health care legislation. They're also very concerned about the uncertainty. A business owner told me today in Toledo at a factory, "We just don't know what's coming, Rob. There's so much uncertainty out there, we're afraid to hire somebody." One guy told me last week, "I'm going to pay time and a half overtime rather than hiring new people because of the health care legislation and the increase in health care costs." This was an opportunity to get health care costs under control. And it was a missed opportunity. If I'm elected, what I will do is try to get health care costs down by putting sensible reforms out there that should be bipartisan. We should find common ground on this. I know Lieutenant Governor Fisher has a lot of support from the trial lawyers, and he probably isn't going to like this idea, but we need to get the frivolous lawsuits under control. That's about $200 billion a year in additional costs in defense of medicine and premiums in our health care system. These are sensible reforms that we can do. So that's what I will fight for if I'm elected to the United States Senate.
Mr. Portman, thank you. Mr. Fisher, a minute to respond.
I think it's irresponsible to say that when you like some parts of a bill and you don't like others, you're going to repeal the whole thing and start all over again. Congressman Portman was in Congress and in Washington, D.C., I should say, for 20 years. He had his chance to do something, and he did nothing when it comes to health care reform. And now he wants to go back and repeal it and start all over again, even though he had that chance. It is far more responsible to take a look at what works in the bill and what doesn't. If you were to repeal this, what you're doing is you're putting insurance companies back in charge of your health care. Exactly the wrong thing to be doing. Today, if you have a prior medical condition, thanks to this law, they can't deny you coverage anymore. Now, if you want to get a mammogram, you don't have to have a copay anymore. He'd go back to those days. Now, are there things that we should improve in this bill? Of course there are. There's no question in my mind that we shouldn't be taxing health care benefits. We should have better physician reimbursements. But those are things that we can do. But you mend it. You don't end it. And to repeal it is irresponsible.
Time's up. Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Our next question is from Joe Hallett, and it goes to Lee Fisher.
Mr. Fisher, House Minority Leader John Boehner drew a lot of heat from Democrats for suggesting that Social Security's long-term viability could be preserved with a few basic reforms, including means testing benefits and raising the retirement age for younger Americans. Do you think these ideas should be off the table? And if so, what would you propose to ensure Social Security's long-term viability?
Well, no, I don't support cutting benefits or raising the retirement age, but what I do support is getting it out of the firing line on the floor of the Senate and the House and getting it into a bipartisan commission where smart Republicans and independents and Democrats who are not up for office, who don't have to run for election, can give us their best recommendations. And I'm okay even with an up or down vote on that, because at least that way we'll get the best thinking. But as long as this is a political football on the floor of the Senate and the House, given the hyper-partisanship that makes me sick and disgusted, and most Americans that I talk to disgusted, we're never going to solve these problems. So my attitude is it's a sacred promise with the seniors of our country, and there are ways we can solve this. And I will say to you, one of the ways is not to raid the Social Security Trust Fund, as Congressman Portman did when he was the budget director. There are other ways to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Portman, a minute to respond.
Thank you, Joe. It is a sacred promise to our seniors, and we need to be sure and strengthen and preserve Social Security, because if we don't, it won't be there in the future. It's heading toward insolvency. Everybody agrees with that. And I know it's getting close to Halloween, but I would ask Lieutenant Governor Lee Fisher tonight to stop scaring seniors about Social Security. He gave a more reasoned answer here tonight because he's not on the campaign trail, but when he talks to seniors, you know what he says? Don't touch it. And that Portman wants to take away your Social Security. Not true. Again, no one should be doing anything to affect the Social Security benefits seniors have earned and that they need and are relying on. No one should be touching that. But we do need to look at performing the system for the future, strengthening it and preserving it. When Lee Fisher was talking to a group of seniors in Cincinnati recently, he gave his scare talk about Social Security and demagogued on it. And at the end of the conversation, according to the Cincinnati Inquirer, one of the seniors asked the question that all seniors are asking, well, what are your solutions to Social Security, because I'm worried about it for my kids and my grandkids? His answer, elect me, a political answer. We need to be sure we approach this problem and do it on a bipartisan way and in a way to be sure it's there for future generations.
Mr. Portman, thank you. Our next question comes from Tom Troy, and it goes to Mr. Portman.
Mr. Portman, given the threat posed to the world by Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, is it wise for the U.S. to begin withdrawing troops from Afghanistan as President Obama plans to do beginning next year?
Tom, thanks for that question. And we all saw on the newspaper today or saw on TV that there are additional concerns, particularly in Europe, about potential terrorist threats. This war against terror continues, and I hope the administration continues to view this as a true war, because it is. They haven't given up. They're still after us, and all freedom-loving people should be worried. President Obama has supported, and Lee Fisher has supported, a withdrawal from Afghanistan on a date certain, an arbitrary deadline. That just gives comfort to our enemies. The Taliban and Al-Qaeda will simply wait us out. This is what the military is saying. That's why they're so against that. This is what the people in Afghanistan are saying, including President Karzai. This is what the people are saying all around the world, who are worried that America is not going to be able to protect them and us against terrorism. If we have an arbitrary deadline to withdraw, again, they'll wait us out, and Afghanistan will again become a safe haven for terrorism. And the potential there is that it becomes a platform for another attack like 9/11 on our country. We simply cannot allow that. Again, as we look at the news today, and as we realize that this terror threat is very real, we need to be sure that we do not create that safe haven in Afghanistan for them to attack freedom-loving people over the world, including here in America.
Mr. Portman, thank you. Mr. Fisher, a minute to respond.
There is no issue more important to any member of the U.S. Senate or Congress than our responsibility to whether or not to send young men or women into battle, and to make sure that when they are there, that they are safe. These are not easy decisions, and they shouldn't be political. Hopefully, they won't be. I just happen to believe that Iraq was a misguided war. Afghanistan made lots of sense after 9/11, and I supported that. But we took our eye off the ball. And as a result, I do believe it is time to bring our troops home. But I want to make something very clear. We never, 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 never give up the fight on terrorism. But if we've learned anything since 2001 is that you can't fight them with conventional warfare. It must be strategic with elite forces, with predator drones. If anything, we should step that up. But we should put less of our men and women in harm's way.
Thank you very much. And I just want to give our panelists a heads up that we're doing wonderfully on time, so we'll likely have the opportunity for two extra questions, perhaps as many as four. So, Tom Troy, you are asking the next question, and it goes to Lee Fisher. Okay.
Mr. Fisher, as you know, Lake Erie is critical to the economic and recreational vitality of the Toledo area and the state as a whole. How would you advocate for swift action from the federal government to keep Asian carp out of the Great Lakes?
Well, Tom, first I want to go back to one thing that Congressman Portman said, but I guarantee you I'm going to get to Asian carp. But I don't want to disappoint Congressman Portman because he said that he liked my answer, but he hasn't liked other answers. So I'm going to go back to my other answers because I don't want to disappoint him. Because what I neglected to mention tonight, and the people of Ohio should know, is that one of the most vocal proponents of privatizing Social Security was Congressman Portman. That means the seniors would be able to put some or all, whatever they, how much they want, of their Social Security into the stock market, which means on Thursday they may make a lot of money, and on Friday they'll be wiped out. Imagine what would have happened if Congressman Portman and President Bush had privatized Social Security during this economic recession. It would have been a disaster. Now, Asian carp. We are next to the largest body of fresh water in the world, outside of the polar ice caps. There is no greater asset in America, perhaps, but certainly in Ohio, than the Great Lakes. I was on a call with the White House several months ago saying to them that I felt that they were not being tough enough in dealing with Asian carp. These large fish are literally eating other fish all throughout the Great Lakes. And we're allowing them in because we haven't closed the locks over in Chicago. We should close those immediately. And the governor and I have been very, very clear to the Obama administration that they've been too slow and that they need to focus on protecting Lake Erie in particular because Lake Erie is the shallowest of all the Great Lakes. So we are the most in danger by Asian carp. And so first you stop them getting in, and then you put all your energy on making sure that you get rid of them so that we can keep the Great Lakes as the beautiful recreational source it is, not to mention a source of great drinking water.
Mr. Fisher, thank you. Mr. Portman, a minute to respond.
Thanks, Tom. This is a huge issue, and it's a jobs issue. There's a $7.5 billion industry in the Great Lakes that is commercial fishing, recreational fishing, and it's threatened by this Asian carp infestation. So I think it's great that Lieutenant Governor Fisher called his friends at the White House and told them they need to get on it. He better call them again because they're still not there. In fact, they've now discovered an Asian carp within 6 miles of the lake, and they've discovered DNA in the lake of the Asian carp. So this is a real problem, and the administration has not handled it properly, and they need to be much more aggressive. In terms of the attack a moment ago, another partisan attack by my opponent that's just not accurate. I do not support privatization of Social Security. What I do support is strengthening Social Security for the future. Look, I know that Lieutenant Governor Fisher would like to distract us from the fact that in his tenure as development director in Ohio, we've lost 400,000 jobs. Again, our employment is one of the 10 worst in the country right now, our unemployment rate. I know he'd like to distract us from the legislation he so strongly has supported, the health care legislation. In fact, he supported an even stronger government role through a public option, a bigger government role, and the stimulus plan that he said was going to work so well for Ohio.
Thank you, Mr. Portman. Our next question comes from Joe Hallett, and it goes to Rob Portman.
Mr. Portman, Mr. Fisher just mentioned the hyper-partisanship that grips Congress, and I think all Ohioans hope that their two senators will work together. In this campaign, you have been harshly criticized, your ideas and your proposals have been harshly criticized by Ohio's junior senator, Democrat Sherrod Brown. Considering that, if you win, how would you work with him, particularly given your fundamental differences on trade and job creation?
Well, thanks, Joe. Interesting question. Senator Brown is the other senator from Ohio, and he has been very partisan. In fact, I don't think in the history of our state we've ever had a senator who wasn't running for election who was as active and as partisan in these campaigns. But look, I suppose he's trying to make up for the fact that he chose not to endorse Lee Fisher when he ran in the Democratic primary. That's all I can guess. I've talked to Senator Sherrod Brown about this. I've told him I look forward to working with him should I be elected to the United States Senate. He has said he looks forward to working with me should I be elected to the United States Senate. I know he's supporting my opponent, not me. I talked to George Voinovich today, in fact. And George Voinovich is a guy who is choosing to leave the United States Senate, but he's someone who has worked across the aisle to get stuff done, as I have done. During my tenure in the United States Congress, 12 of my bills were signed into law by President Bill Clinton, which makes some Republicans nervous sometimes. But I can defend each one of them as good, fiscally conservative pieces of legislation that help move our state and our country forward. That's what I would do if elected to the United States Senate. I would work with Sherrod Brown. I'd work with anybody, Democrat, Republican, Independent, who wanted to help me help Ohio. We need to turn things around in Washington. This record debt and deficit is hurting our economy now, and it's unfair to future generations. The health care legislation is not working. It's increasing costs, not decreasing costs. Taxes are going up at year end on small businesses all over Ohio, making it even harder to create jobs. We see regulations. We see more and more burdens. We need to go the other way. We need to give Ohio employers, particularly our small businesses here in Ohio that are the backbone of our economy, more help. And I'll work with anybody who wants to work with me to help Ohio and to help those small businesses.
Mr. Portman, thank you. Mr. Fisher, a minute to respond.
You know, I do believe it's very important that you work across the aisle and work with members of the other party, just as I did when I was in the state legislature. But I think it's also important that, more important than that, is that you not be a rubber stamp for your party. That you'll be able to stand up to your own party when you think they're wrong, as I have done many times in my career, and many times even while President Obama has been president. But watching Congressman Portman, I can't tell you I've seen any time when he's departed from John Boehner and the Republican playbook. But I can tell you who did depart, George Voinovich. George Voinovich, to his credit, stood his ground. And he opposed the tax cuts for the wealthy billionaires and millionaires, and he supported a strong, reasonable small business jobs bill that Congressman Portman opposed. I would suspect that that was being a rubber stamp for the Republicans. So it seems to me that if you're going to be bipartisan, you've got to show it.
Mr. Fisher, thank you. Our next question comes from Laura Bischoff, and it goes to Lee Fisher.
Mr. Fisher, does Ohio's economy need another jolt of stimulus money from Washington? And if so, what do you think realistically might pass in the next Congress when Republicans may hold even more seats than they do now?
Well, I think we all know that although that stimulus has helped, it hasn't been enough, bottom line. Now, you know, John McCain's own economic advisor, Mark Zandi, has said that without it, we would have lost another 8.5 million jobs. But the bottom line is, making progress is good, but it's not good enough. And so here's what I think we should do. Number one, we should end the tax breaks that Congressman Portman supports to the large companies that ship their jobs overseas. Number two, we should have a new national job creation tax credit, modeled after one that I've been using for the last 4 years here in Ohio, that is a powerful incentive for businesses to create jobs right here in Ohio. We should make the research and development tax credit permanent. It's ridiculous that it remains temporary and every couple years has to be extended and is a political football. We are an innovative state, an innovative nation. We should be planting those seeds now like we have in the third frontier on the state level. And finally, it is outrageous that we have bailed out the Wall Street banks, but we have shortchanged the small businesses. The small businesses that we see everywhere that are 98% of our economy, and they, even if they have not missed a single payment, cannot get a loan, which is why I have supported, and Congressman Portman has opposed, a $30 billion pool of money to go to community banks with requirements that they get that out the door to small businesses to help them survive and to grow. I don't care what you call it, whether it's a stimulus or anything else. I just want to make sure we create jobs and do it by giving incentives to create American jobs and Ohio jobs and get rid of the incentives that actually encourage offshoring and outsourcing and shipping jobs overseas.
Mr. Fisher, thank you. Mr. Portman, a response?
Well, we just heard from Lieutenant Governor Fisher, and again, we're going to see very different visions here. He thinks apparently the stimulus was not enough. That's what he just said. So $800 billion, over $1 trillion when you include the interest cost, was not enough. Now remember, this was the stimulus package that was sold as taking unemployment below 8%. In Ohio, it's over 10%. This was the stimulus package that said we're going to create all kinds of new jobs. Ohio has lost almost 150,000 jobs since the stimulus package was signed into law. And he wants more of the same kind of stimulus. This is what else he just said he wants. He wants to put tax increases on U.S. companies at a time when we're trying to climb out of this recession. That does not make sense for our workers. That would cost, by the way, 17,000 more jobs in the state of Ohio if his tax increases that he's talking about actually got enacted into law. We've already lost 400,000 jobs, Lieutenant Governor. We don't need to lose another 17,000.
Mr. Portman, thanks. Joe Froelich asks our next question. It goes to Rob Portman.
Mr. Portman, you've been critical of the cap-and-trade energy bill that passed the House. But what would you do to reduce U.S. dependency on foreign oil, a goal of, articulated by presidents of both parties, going back at least to Richard Nixon, and also to improve the environment in this country?
Joe, thank you. Great question. And it's really an exciting opportunity for Ohio to take energy and convert it to jobs. Let me explain. The cap-and-trade tax, which is passed by the House of Representatives, strongly supported by the Democrats in Congress, would cost 100,000 jobs in Ohio. Now, that's a study by the American manufacturers. In the alternative, if we develop nuclear power here in Ohio, natural gas, and there's a great natural gas find right under Ohio and neighboring states, if we move forward with clean coal technology, if we move forward with green technology, being not just hydro but also solar and wind, we can use some of the manufacturing capacity in Ohio and create thousands and thousands of jobs. Nuclear power, for instance. There are several factories that I've visited over the past year and a half that make things for nuclear power. In fact, Babcock and Wilcox is here in Ohio. They make nuclear power plants. It's an opportunity for us to use the best workforce in the world, which is Ohio workers, and to take all that manufacturing capacity that we can use and create more jobs and opportunity here in Ohio. That's the alternative. And guess what? When you do that, you make us less dependent on foreign oil, which is also incredibly important to our national security and our economic security. And finally, it's a cleaner environment because you're using nuclear power, which is emission-free, you're using natural gas, which has half the CO2 emissions, and you're using clean coal technology, which takes the CO2 out of coal and makes coal clean burning. These are really exciting opportunities for our state. If I'm elected to the United States Senate, I'll be focused a lot on energy, not cap and trade, because that energy tax will hurt Ohio, but on these great opportunities to move Ohio forward. Check it out on our website, robportman.com, and our 10-point energy plan.
Mr. Portman, thank you. Mr. Fisher, a minute to respond.
53 years ago to the day, October 4th, 1957, the Russians sent something up into space. It was called Sputnik. And it was a reawakening in America that we were behind. Well, we're behind today. The solar panels and the wind turbines, they're being made in China. There are not enough of them being made in America. We are depending on countries that hate us and sometimes even want to kill us for our oil. Now is the time to have a new Sputnik. And in a sense, gather around as Democrats and Republicans, liberals and independents and conservatives and say, this is our time. Now's the time to move to a clean energy economy that focuses on wind and solar and on nuclear and on clean coal and focuses on what we teach our children to be self-reliant, not to rely on others. It's exciting, and I can guarantee you, over these last 4 years working with manufacturing companies who are building the component parts of wind turbines, we absolutely can do it.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. All right, we have, I guess we could say, the bonus round now, and we're going to ask some more questions. Joe Froelich, you're going to start this off, and your question will go to Lee Fisher.
Okay. Mr. Fisher, if you win, one of your duties will be to vote on nominees to the Supreme Court. I'm curious as to what criteria you would bring to judging a nominee, how much deference you think the chief executive deserves in a nomination, and if you could just quickly go through the four most recent nominations. Would you have voted for Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Alito, who were appointed by George Bush, and for Justices Sotomayor and Kagan, who were nominated by President Obama?
First, let me say that I had the great honor of clerking for a federal judge out of law school. Interestingly, a staunch Republican judge, Paul Weick, who was appointed through the efforts of Ray Bliss. And I always admired the fact that he hired me knowing full well that I was a staunch Democrat. But he taught me a lesson. He taught me that the law ought to be blind to politics and ideology. And first of all, I don't have a litmus test. What I do is I try to gauge as to whether or not this person, when they put on that robe, they understand that they have, at least for that moment, become one of the most powerful people on earth that can affect what happens for generations to come. And we've seen that with some of the seminal cases. So I want to make sure that they're bright. I want to make sure that they also have practical experience in life and they're not just purely in academia. And I think it's fair to say that we need a diverse court in every respect, in terms of gender, in terms of race, even in terms of the kinds of law schools they go to. I would have voted for Elena Kagan and Justice Sotomayor. And with regard to Roberts and Alito, I have to give you the honest answer. I haven't paid enough attention to their confirmation hearings for me to stand up here today and say automatically I wouldn't. I know that most Democrats voted against them, and I probably would be skeptical, but I'm not going to tell you today that I would have voted against them because I don't have enough information. When you're a senator, you listen to those hearings and you gather information. I did watch those most recent hearings you referred to, President Obama's appointments. I didn't at the time. I was running the Center for Families and Children and admittedly wasn't watching those hearings. So I have to tell you that I'm not sure what I would do in those cases, despite the fact that I probably would be skeptical.
Mr. Fisher, thank you. Mr. Portman, a response?
Thank you, Joe. The Senate does have a solemn responsibility, and that's the confirmation of judges. And I would only confirm those judges who, one, had the right judicial temperament, and two, did not legislate from the bench. That's the job of a legislature. We're elected as legislators to be accountable to the people, and judges have a lifetime appointment. George Voinovich opposed Elena Kagan's nomination because he felt she did not have the experience. I think I would have done the same thing because I don't believe that she was a person, again, with the right judicial temperament and experience, and I believe that her record, to the extent there was one, indicated that she was going to legislate from the bench. I hope I'm wrong. I hope she ends up being a better Supreme Court justice. But I think this is the criteria we ought to be using in looking at Supreme Court justices.
Mr. Portman, thank you. Laura Bishop will ask the next question. It goes to Rob Portman.
Okay, Mr. Portman, would you articulate your view on the financial reforms aimed at cleaning up Wall Street? And would you want to repeal some of them? And if so, why?
Well, thank you, Laura. I appreciate your asking that question because earlier I've counted them now, six inaccuracies in terms of the partisan attacks from Lee Fisher, and that was one of them. Look, I am very disappointed in what passed in the United States Congress on the financial reforms because it didn't solve the problem. Everybody knows that the housing market triggered the financial collapse in October of 2008. Barack Obama has said as much, as have all the economists who've looked at it. And yet this legislation does nothing to try to help on that issue. These two organizations, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, that backed up the mortgages and that gave banks the ability to sell these subprime mortgages, they weren't touched in this legislation. Why? Because the Democrats in charge of the committees are very close to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now, my understanding is that we taxpayers have already spent over $200 billion shoring up these entities, and yet there were no reforms at all in there. Second, I think the legislation didn't go far enough in certain regards with regard to how it dealt with Wall Street. It's interesting. The big Wall Street firms, including Goldman Sachs, strongly supported the legislation that Lee Fisher supported. The community banks in Ohio did not support the legislation. Why? Because they're very concerned about the new mandates, the new regulations, making it harder, not easier, to get credit. And that's what I'm finding as I travel over the state of Ohio. Companies are having a hard time getting credit. And banks, particularly community banks, are feeling more and more pressure from the regulations and the mandates. I was at a company today where a guy said, look, I've made my payments on a regular basis. We've got a decent business plan going forward. We'd like to expand. We could actually try to create some more jobs here, but I can't get a loan. We need to be sure that when we're talking about regulations, that we're focused on how to create jobs in Ohio. And that means being sure that the community banks in Ohio have the ability to make a loan. Lee Fisher supports this big fund he talked about earlier to actually have the government buy the stock of banks. This is like a mini TARP. Even the new consumer advocate for President Obama says that's a bad idea.
Thank you, Mr.
Let's help small businesses get the loans they need.
Mr. Portman, thank you. Mr. Fisher?
I had a law school professor who once said, it's better to have a fence at the top of the cliff than to have an ambulance below. Wall Street reform was critical because if we did not build that fence at the top of the cliff, we were destined to repeat the mistakes of the past. And as far as I know, all the big Wall Street firms are thrilled with the fact that Congressman Portman wants to be one of those who repeals that reform. I think that having a consumer financial agency that looks out for the consumer, everything ranging from credit card rates that are outrageous to the kinds of speculative derivative trading that occurred when banks played with middle class families' money and lost it almost as if it were some sort of gambling casino, that should never happen again. And Congressman Portman was one of those, and by the way, Democrats did too, who voted, as I recall at least, for repealing the Glass-Steagall Act, which basically said
Time's up, Mr. Fisher.
You banks can go ahead and start speculating.
Thank you, Mr.
We need
Fisher.
To go back to the point where they can't.
And time is up.
And time's up.
At this point, we have closing statements. 2 minutes for each gentleman to give their closing statements. This is reverse order of our opening statements. And Rob Portman, you go first.
Great. Thank you, Diane. And again, I want to thank the four reporters who are here today, all of whom are on the campaign trail with us a lot, for their good questions. I want to thank the organizers, the Ohio newspapers, for giving us the chance to talk directly to Ohio voters about the key issues we face. And what you've seen tonight are two very different approaches. What I heard tonight from Lieutenant Governor Lee Fisher was that he's proud of his record as development director at a time when we lost 400,000 jobs here in Ohio. He's kind of wanting to have it both ways, I guess. He's saying he's proud of certain things that happened, and those are okay. He'll take credit for them, but other things that happened, he wants to blame somebody else. I don't think that's the right record to take to Washington. More importantly to me is what he's supporting in terms of job-killing legislation that's going to make it harder for Ohio to get back on track. I'm running because I believe we're headed in the wrong direction. I think Ohio's headed in the wrong direction. I think our country's headed in the wrong direction. The status quo isn't working. We need some fresh ideas. Again, check out our jobs plan at robportman.com. Check out the one-year suspension of the payroll tax that'll help workers and help small businesses get the credit they need to be able to help expand their businesses. We need to change direction. And we need to do that because our great state and the workers of Ohio deserve it. I was born and raised in this state. Jane and I have raised our three kids here. I want to be sure that Ohio can get back on track. And we can do it. This is a great state with innovators and inventors and entrepreneurs, but we need to create the climate for success. That's, again, why I'm running for the United States Senate. I'd ask for your vote tonight, and I hope to see you out on the campaign trail. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Portman. Mr. Fisher, closing statements, 2 minutes.
Sure. Rob and I both have our wives here tonight, so I want to acknowledge that my wife Peggy is here tonight. And I want to thank all of you for giving us this great opportunity. We've had a lot of facts and figures tonight, so I think I want to take a different approach in my remaining minute or so and just tell you a quick story. One day I got a call from Sue Lesh. She's the mayor of Norwalk, Ohio. There was panic in her voice, and she said to me, Lee, I don't know what to do. The bank is about to close down Norwalk Furniture. I canceled the schedule for the rest of my day. I drove out to Norwalk, spent the day meeting with the mayor and community and business leaders. We convinced the bank to back off, to reconsider and give the company a second chance. We gave the great company a loan, and some people in the community stepped up and more than matched that loan. We saved the company, and we saved many of the jobs. One of the jobs we saved was of Kay Kropp, whose husband had been in an auto accident, was in a coma for many years. And Kay told me that during those years, the only thing that kept her going, her anchor, her lifeline, was that job. As I've traveled this state, I've learned that a job is much more than a paycheck. It's about hope and dignity and purpose in someone's life. I'm proud of the work that we've done at Cooper Tire, proud of the work that we've done at Norwalk Furniture, at Schindler Elevator, at Sunlight, at First Solar, at Goodyear, Bridgestone, Firestone, Alcoa, and many more. Now, am I satisfied? Of course not. I'm not satisfied because until we change these policies on the federal level, there is no governor or lieutenant governor, Democrat or Republican, who will be able to do it. Even Mitch Daniel, a friend of Congressman Portman and the governor of Indiana, has said there are some things beyond the control of governors and lieutenant governors that can only be fixed in that broken place called Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher.
I'd be proud to represent Kay Kropp.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher.
In Washington, D.C.
This darn clock, it just doesn't stop when you want it to. Gentlemen, that's our debate tonight. Thank you so much, Rob Portman and Lee Fisher, for being with us tonight. Thank all of you at home for watching. A special thanks to all of our panelists tonight. Tom Troy from the Toledo Blade, Joe Hallett from the Columbus Dispatch, Laura Bischoff from the Dayton Daily News, and Joe Froelich from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Thanks also to the ONO, Ohio Newspaper Organization, for sponsoring this debate. Of course, the Blade and 13ABC for bringing it to you. A reminder, Election Day is November 2nd. I'm Diane Larson. On behalf of all the hardworking men and women here at 13ABC, have a great night.
Thank you for joining us for the Ohio U.S. Senate debate, a presentation of 13ABC.